Radio Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to claim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us, and thanks for hanging in there through our Skype challenges that we've had. The internet is seeming to give us a little bit more trouble. Today is June 15th. Can't believe it. 8 o'clock in the morning here on the West Coast. Today I have with us a friend of our show, Mr. Carl Grossman, who wrote Cover Up, What You Are Not Supposed to Know About Nuclear Power, writes all the time for various magazines. I think it's called Counterpunch. Am I correct, Carl?
Counterpunch. I write for Counterpunch regularly, a very good
and your articles are
incredible investigative website. Just yes. Terrific, Counterpunch.
Well, thank you for joining us, Carl. I really appreciate your time. And you know what? I have to say, I really appreciate your openness to have a honest dialogue with me about things instead of me having to tiptoe around things, because I'm not very good at that. I think that's because I'm from California. You know, Californians, because there's so much sun, we just go without clothes and without a lot of we don't have a lot of filters, you know. So living in the Northwest has taught me some filters. Thank goodness for that. So thanks for joining us. I wanted to talk to you today about.
I'm from New York, Lonnie, and speaking to people without filters, New Yorkers are, kind of famous for not having filters. I think even more so than folks from California.
Oh, really?
I think so. In fact, New Yorkers often will complain when they go to the West Coast that people in California are not, as blunt and as open and as, that they're less, what would be the word? Less without filters. That becomes a complicated structure.
More guarded, you mean?
They have more filters. Huh. Or they have filters. Because, California is sunny and nice, and in New York, it's a harsher environment and maybe a little bit of a harsher culture. So in any case, I, too, don't have filters.
Good. Well, that helps, because then we can have real dialogue, because I was talking to you about I believe that what's going on is neoliberalism, and then we kind of got into it in the few minutes that we had in between our conversation. I looked it up, and it really is. Our disagreement of what neoliberalism is speaks to exactly the propaganda and what we have. I mean, a quick looking up of what neoliberalism is about is laissez-faire economics, austerity, fiscal austerity, deregulation, free trade, reductions in government spending, and increases in the private sector.
Yeah, well, my issue isn't with your definition of what the word neoliberalism is being used for today. My argument is people and philosophies that this word, I think, wrongly is being applied to. For example, if you, you Google neoliberalism, what you'll see is that it was originally, this is back decades ago, referring to a kind of a position between socialism and
100% right. They co-opted the word.
A less socialist perspective. It was kind of a middle way. And that's the origin of the word. And then just in recent times, people like Ayn Rand, who is not a liberal in any way. I mean, she was just an extreme, I don't even know if the word anarchist
she was a novelist, so her brain was free to think of whatever she wanted. So
well,
she
I don't know. As a person who expounded a certain philosophy of, it was kind of like social Darwinism. It was kind of doggy dog. I mean, if you're looking at that terms, social Darwinism would be...
It explains why Paul Ryan can be so cruel-hearted. He's like, well, that's the way it is. We're on top. Brush it off.
Well, an example, too. I mean, if you look at Google, you'll see that in recent times, this term neoliberalism has been applied to Ayn Rand and to Alan Greenspan, who was this big disciple of Ayn Rand, who really screwed up the economy royal because he and Ayn Rand and this whole school of, and again, I wouldn't call them neoliberals. I call them arch conservatives.
I agree with you. I think that you were. I think what this speaks to is how they co-opted the words.
They grabbed the word, but I mean, liberalism.
They used the word. So now this speaks to the demonization. This brings us up to today of the demonization of the word liberal. People act like the word liberal is a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, here in New York State, here in New York State, only in New York State, there was something called for many years the Liberal Party. And that was very helpful to John Lindsay, who was a wonderful mayor of New York City. So I don't think the word liberal is bad at all. It's being, flexible. It's being liberal. I think it's a good word. But
because you're a liberal, Carl, like me.
Not really. I'm a journalist.
A lot of people, people have used that word in scorn towards me. You're nothing but a liberal. I'm like, thank God. I'm actually, I call myself a flaming liberal, to be honest. I'm a very socialist. Like, I believe in us taking care of the elderly, the poor. I believe that people that have a lot of money ought to pay a lot of taxes because they get their lots of money from the people at the bottom. So, a great wealth is built on the backs of many people, not one or two. It's not like, I made my money. No, you didn't just make your money. You made it on the backs of people making $7, $8, $9, sometimes 20 cents an hour. So let's talk reality.
Yeah. Now, in terms of politics, let me just make it very clear that it isn't that I'm a liberal or a conservative or anything. I'm committed to being and I've done this all my life, my working life, being a journalist. And as I teach my students, I teach journalism at the State University of New York College at Old Westbury in the United States. Now, it's a little different in Europe, where journalists are often attached to a political party or a political belief. But here in this country, journalists, I mean, this is an ideal. It hasn't been applied in reality as often as it should. To look at Fox News, and you can see how on Fox News this isn't so. But journalists in this country have strived to be independent of politics. I mean, I don't even enroll in a political party because I want to make it very clear I'm independent. In regards to the Liberal Party that I mentioned before in New York State, in fact, the Liberal Party came crashing down because of deals made by leaders of the Liberal Party in New York State with all kind of people who weren't particularly liberal, including Rudy Giuliani. And some of the deals were very, very, very smelly. And in my journalism, have been critical of very critical of this aspect of the Liberal Party in New York State. So it isn't that I personally am liberal, because as a journalist, that has to kind of override any. A journalist should be an equal opportunity critic. A journalist, I believe, has to be prepared to challenge, to criticize anyone. For example, when Obama was the president, I wrote some very harsh pieces, many of them
That's
on Counterpunch.
I read them.
I remember one on Counterpunch. The headline was "Obama Goes Nuclear," about how he flipped on nuclear power. He, when he ran for office originally, he said he was against nuclear power, that it was dangerous, and there's safe, clean alternatives. In fact, if you go to YouTube, you can see some presentations that, again, before being elected, Obama made in this regard. One to the editorial board of a newspaper in New Hampshire. It's still on YouTube. But then he became president, and under the influence of Rahm Emanuel, who as an investment banker put together the biggest nuclear utility now in the country, Exelon.
Rahm Emanuel put Exelon together?
Rahm Emanuel. Rahm Emanuel is now the mayor of Chicago.
I know who he is, but he put Exelon together? I did not know that.
Yeah, and then previously he was chief of staff
of
the Obama White House. And in my piece, you can Google it. Just call Grossman, call with a K, Counterpunch, Obama Goes Nuclear. I write about under the influence of Rahm Emanuel, who was an investment banker, put together this big nuclear utility out of Commonwealth Edison, which was out of Chicago, and a company called PECO and so forth. And he was Also assisting in all this was a man named David Axelrod, who did public relations for this new enterprise, Exelon. And I was very harsh in criticizing Obama and becoming an exponent of nuclear power, clean, safe nuclear power, said Obama in various speeches when he did take a dive and he flipped. So I have to be prepared as a journalist. I think all journalists should be prepared to criticize whoever is in power. I mean, that's the ideal of U.S. journalism, to be a watchdog, to counter, to challenge power. Back to words, I think words can be very deceptive, particularly when they're developed to be deceptive. And neoliberalism, if you look at what neo means, it means new.
Yes.
And liberalism, liberal, progressive, whatever, it's a kind of a synonym, has a certain meaning. So to call Ayn Rand a new liberal, I mean, she never was an old liberal. She never was a...
Exactly.
She was an extreme...
Yes, exactly right, Carl. You are exactly right. This is what I mean, how we have been gaslit. Americans need to think about it. Like another word that I really... In fact, I had a guest on the other day that I kept stopping him. They kept wanting to say the word, this is crazy, that's insane. I think those are like pre-planted words that are put into our conversations. Like, it's a really good way to, it's not crazy what they're doing. A lot of what they're doing is really ecocide. They are ignoring some of the world's worst crisis, ecological crisis, because of big business. It's not just, it's not just nuclear. It's oil, it's chemical, it's biological. It's the whole thing is antithetical to living, and it is ecocide. And it is, I don't think it's crazy. I think it's greedy and it's treasonous. It's antithetical to living. I'm super picky about words because I think words, I agree with you 100%. Words matter. I mean, we've all learned that in our lessons, in our lives, in our personal lives, where we say the wrong thing to somebody and it really hurts them for a long time. No matter how much you apologize, you still hurt them. It's like I always look at it like a wall. We have a wall of beautiful wood. You put a nail in it. Yeah, you can take the nail out and plug it up with some putty and paint over it. But guess what? There's still a hole in the wall.
Yeah, there's a thing, too, about words beyond the personal interplay, personal communications, is that people who are in, well, it's called the public relations business. A man named Bernays considered himself the father of PR. His famous line was manipulating public consent. And what this huge industry, this public relations industry, initially an American phenomenon with Edward Bernays, a nephew, incidentally, of Sigmund Freud, manipulating the public mind, has spread all around the world, and it's very dangerous. And
That's why they choose this word, neoliberal. That's why they picked it, because it has a lot of value, Carl.
Well, beyond that word, other phony, fraudulent expressions is like back to nuclear power.
How about fake news as far as going after journalists? I mean, really, yeah. the first thing dictators do is they buy out the newspapers and go after journalists.
Well, it's these days, I mean, we're on another subject now, but in terms of what certain forces, and they're not neoliberal, they're, I think, neoconservative,
exactly,
or just straight conservative, have done, for example, very ominous right now is this Sinclair Media Company, seeking, and it just needs FCC approval, and I'm sure under Trump it will get it. This Sinclair Media Company, very arch conservative, sort of like Fox, sort of like Rupert Murdoch's Fox Communications, beginning to preparing, again, it needs FCC approval, but Sinclair wants to buy television station after television station. It's in the process now of taking over the Tribune media assets, again, Sinclair Broadcasting Corporation. And I think between Fox, though they just ended saying fair and balanced, which is good, what I'm talking about, misleading words, fair and balanced, and Fox, the Fox News Channel has now just suddenly stopped using that. This Sinclair broadcast group will own dozens and dozens of TV stations, and these are like here in New York.
It already has $5.5 billion worth of assets, according to Wikipedia, right this second.
Yeah, well, but it's now this arch conservative media entity is seeking to, like here in New York, Channel 11. Which was the first independent television channel here in the New York area. The others were networked, owned, and so forth. And it's a good channel, always been. Here, Sinclair is going to gobble it up, and stations all over the country. And like Rupert Murdoch's Fox, the Sinclair folk have a very specific political agenda, which is, it's the opposite of what I was speaking about before. It's the absolute opposite, the 180-degree opposite of what journalists are supposed to be about, challenging power held by all kinds of people. In fact, all people in power are to be monitored, to be watchdog by journalists. And here you've had Fox and Sinclair in partnership with the most conservative political elements in the country, and attempting, and with Fox and Murdoch actually around the world, because he's created an international media megalith, this is not in keeping with the spirit of the best spirit, I feel, of journalism to challenge power. It's to partner with power and push. Turn on Fox any night and you see what they're pushing, or turn on the stations that Sinclair currently owns, and have in the back of your mind they're going to gobble up more and more. So this is very, very serious, I think, in terms of the state of journalism, And in terms of the future of, to be very stark, very open, no filter here, the future of democracy. Because
well, this is
press.
Why I think we need to speak out, because really, honestly, this has got to end. We cannot have a monopoly of the journalism, and we cannot like demonize journalists that we don't like. And this whole ridiculousness of allowing the president of the United States to tweet out salacious, malicious lies without calling him accountable has got to come to an end. Somebody ended up shot yesterday because of his malicious tenor. It is because of his attitude that, they're turning this around like, oh, it was a Bernie Sanders supporter. No, it was them destroying our government that's causing poverty, that's causing mental illness. They're cutting out billions of dollars from institutions in our country that are going to work. They are shoving through a health care plan that is going to harm millions of people in this country. Mm. I don't know how you, can you talk about no filter here? I mean,
yeah, but still, I think we should stress.
This is what they did. FCC in 2001, the FCC, this is on Wikipedia, this is on their page. They allowed this to be up. The FCC levied a $40,000 fine against Sinclair for illegally controlling Glenn Karn. Sinclair became publicly listed in 1995. When the Smith family retained a controlling interest. So this is astounding. They what they're attempting to do is build like a monopoly, basically, a good strong where they can drown out all of the other voices because nobody is as big as them, correct?
Mm. Well, it's
what it sounds like to me.
But I mean, I agree with you, but I think we have to stress right off after what happened yesterday that violence is
outrageously incorrect.
It's so wrong. I mean, why a free press is so necessary, because even in the roughest of times in this country, I mean, we're in another very rough patch during the Nixon time. A free press, which was not tied to, you know, any, the Washington Post and Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein were not, even though, in fact, Woodward mentioned during that period that he was a Republican and Bernstein was a liberal Democrat, they didn't let their personal politics interfere at all with what they were committed to do, and that's to again challenge power and to do it in a very careful and solid and ethical way, and they did. And that's the way in this country we've handled things. This has not been a country of coups, and it's not been a country in terms of political activity, a country based on violence. It's been a country based on often enormously lively public debate and press scrutiny, and that's the way it should continue. And I think
okay,
must
so
continue.
Can I say something like super politically incorrect here? We do need to have this civil dialogue among our legislators, and they do need to look out for the public good. But there is actually a complete disconnect from the violence that is our government. Trump just sold $111 billion of arms to Saudi Arabia. The people who attacked us on 9/11, I don't care what they say, that's their official story, Saudi Arabians. Mm-hmm. We sold them, and we are Trump is now dropping phosphorus weapons on people in Syria. Mm-hmm. We are selling weapons. For us to say, oh my God, it's so horrible that Scalise got shot. How many black people are shot in the back by police officers in this country? Mm-hmm. How civil is that? Good for them, because they're all in office and they're all well-educated and along their way in a civil lifestyle. But for the rest of us, they are dishing out violence, at not even just the physical violence of murdering people, but, you know, cutting off child care assistance from working mothers is ridiculous. I mean, at a base level, they are going to harm everyone in our country. And the disregard for us is so hypocritical. They want us to all feel sorry for the police officers and the victims. And yeah, we do. But what about, like, that's good for them. But for us, we just have to tough it up. And that's how it is in life. We have to spend our tax dollars to drop bombs on innocent people in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. Well, and going back to words, I'm just, you know, thinking in terms of back to Trump again, his constant use of the term crooked Hillary.
Yeah.
Crooked Hillary. In other words, using words to demean and to blaspheme, actually. This is not civil discourse. And you're right. We've entered a time of, in fact, the page one story of the New York Times today, or one of the page one stories, coming out of yesterday's shooting, or shootings, has to do with the these violent episodes in recent years in the United States, and. In my view, they must stop, and we must enter into a what you just mentioned before, a time of civil discourse. Now, it is problematic, however, when you have these, and you can only call them takeovers, these takeovers of independent media, like your Channel 11
true
in New
that.
York and the
That's
and the
so
rest
true.
Of. By people with a political agenda. I mean, that was Rupert Murdoch's scheme all along, and he really is a giant here of a person with a very distinct political agenda, attempting to use media to manipulate and to serve as a propaganda mechanism. And Roger Ailes, who recently died, in partnership with Murdoch, was able to really sharpen up that approach, certainly through the television media. To Ailes understood some of the nature of television, and he created a propaganda arm that would make other propagandists in the
so
history
Carl,
of this planet, they would admire what he did.
Yeah,
because,
I get you. Goebbels would have been very proud of them all. Can I ask you a question?
Shoot.
Do you think that this Sinclair deal that is likely going to go through because Trump is in office is in response to Fox News losing its clout because of the sex scandals that erupted because those darn women couldn't help but talk?
I don't think so. I don't think Sinclair is seeing Fox decline.
Fox is declining.
Well, it is declining.
I mean, it has its base, but you want to know what,
still.
Though? I will tell you this about Fox producers. When there's an emergency on the air, Fox is the only station that gives all the details. The MSNBC drives me crazy. Yesterday, I watched MSNBC and CNN for 15 minutes trying to figure out which congressman got shot. Who got shot? Who got shot? And I'm like, you know what? Who'll have it? Boop, Fox. So why is that?
Well, I got it. If that's the issue, trying to get the names of victims of an event, that's just poor journalism that they didn't make that clear at MSNBC.
Well, that is the state of journalism in our country. And I will tell you, that is the way it's been. I've noticed this, I mean, from the get, since they started bombarding us with propaganda on 9/11. That is the only way that you can get it. And it's always been that way since now. That's actually when I really noticed it was 9/11. I personally, Carl, I don't know. I know you live in New York and this might offend you, but I don't believe for a heartbeat their official story. I think this was an inside job with the most corrupt factions of our military and government engaged in it to traumatize Americans, to roll in the Unpatriot Act, and to perpetrate the crimes of 2008, and actually end up with Trump in office. Bada, bada, bing, mission accomplished.
Well, I think for sure, how can I put it? For sure, Fox has, as I stress, a political agenda. But just to get back to what you said, the decline and whether Sinclair is trying to take advantage of the decline, the motto, the slogan that's going to be used by Fox now replace this baloney fair and balanced is most watched, most trusted. And so they're still drumming up the their ratings, which are still high. They're still not what they were. And adding to it this, now we're back to baloney, most trusted, considering what they're throwing at the American public.
Yeah, now they're telling us that we trust them. Actually, what's really hilarious is I laughed when I read that this morning. You know why? Because they're changing their motto in a way that, like, before fair and balanced, that was completely untrue. And now it's the most trusted. That's actually not true either. Like, they keep changing their motto to be exactly what they're not. It's, like, so interesting.
Yeah,
so,
it
by
is,
the
it
way,
is.
Guess what? Well, Sinclair owns the station here in Eugene.
Really, huh? Well, say goodbye to that. And you're going to have in Eugene,
Fisher,
if the deal goes through, and it certainly will, among the most liberal, get back to that word, cities in the United States, Eugene, having an arch conservative news outlet. And if you Google Sinclair conservative or right wing, I mean, I don't have to outline the sins in the past of the Sinclair broadcast entities' political bent. I mean, they've been doing this for years, and they'll be doing it more so with a far bigger audience if, and it's not even an if, it's just a when, this deal comes through.
The tennis channel? It says they're taking over the tennis channel? A DC station, WJLA-TV? They're operating 6 drone teams in September 2016. Initial stations getting drone teams. I don't know what that means. Do you know what that means?
No, I don't.
That's
I
a
don't,
weird
but
thing.
If I can refer to listeners to a very good piece on Sinclair, it's on Media Matters, which is an excellent group. Media Matters for America, and here's a piece. Just out in June 1st, a couple of weeks ago, how Sinclair Broadcasting purchase of the Tribune Media could help Trump get reelected. And let me just read the top of it. Local TV news conglomerate Sinclair Broadcasting Group is purchasing Tribune Media Group. Sinclair and its affiliates have a history of airing far-right reporting and commentary. Its executives have donated to Republicans, and Sinclair even hired former Trump advisor Boris Epsilant as its chief political analyst. With all the Tribune media stations that are located in big cities and swing states, Donald Trump's campaign is about to get a big boost. And I can go on reading it.
June 1st at Media Matters.
Media Matters, but you know, I want to bring this to your listeners' attention because, again, we go back to the start of your show today, filtering and telling the truth and so forth. And here you have again, we have Fox already, and it doesn't have the audience that it had, and Bill O'Reilly is thankfully gone with his version of propaganda. But still, it has a huge, Fox has a huge viewership. And now you have joining the fray, this Sinclair Broadcasting. And again, many of these are VHF stations. And when you look at television and its audience, people less so than years ago, before cable and satellite broadcasting, the VHF stations, which are 1 to 13, had, that's where people went to watch television. Now there are alternatives, but still the VHF stations are very, very important. And here you have Sinclair gobbling up many, many of these stations all across the United States
Listen to this. Through Media Matters, you can follow the links. And there's a story written December 16, 2016. The title of it says, Trump campaign made a deal with media organization for straighter coverage during election. Trump's campaign made a deal with Sinclair Broadcasting Group for more favorable media coverage during the election, adding to the growing list of conflicts between Trump and the media. Wow.
Yeah, well, Sinclair has been a tool, very much a tool.
Jared Kushner struck a deal with them. So Jared Kushner made a deal with them. And so televisions across the country in lots of swing states. So this is the state of where we're at in our country. It really is straight up propaganda. Because they do own our radio station here. What's interesting is they call Eugene liberal, but I find it's not that liberal here.
Really?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think so. I think there's a lot less, quote, I mean, most of my neighbors are Trump supporters. I would say that.
I am surprised.
And they think I'm a complete, you know, but you know, what's funny is I'm a nice person. So like, I just talk to them about how they don't know a lot of things. Like they don't know that we're dropping white phosphorus in Syria. They're like, oh, that's fake news. I'm like, really? Look it up. Go to the Army manual and look how Obama, and it's not just him. This is the thing. We have had a military coup in this country, and we are a war machine. I can't get over this, Carl. I don't know how anybody can, but the Pentagon, $10 trillion, they say they cannot account for. We are $560 billion in debt about. If you add it, one of those trillions, if they would just find one of those trillions that they can't account for, we wouldn't have a deficit. I mean, our kids, I personally accruing debt to get an education. So is every student in school, practically. Very few of them can pay. And why is that? Trillions of dollars lost at the Pentagon. And we have a commander-in-chief who allows Flynn to be in on high security conversations, who was working and talking to Russians. I personally, the whole thing, we have to have clear conversations. We need to stop with the war machine and start taking care of Americans.
Let me jump to back to, if we could, because I think this is so important as a journalist. This Sinclair situation. Here's this last month. Same website, Media Matters. Again, listeners, just Google in Sinclair Broadcasting Conservative. Those three words, Sinclair Broadcasting Conservative. And here's just a collection of recent pieces. This is one from last month, from May. The Trump administration just helped a pro-Trump media empire grow. And just let me read the top of this one. Thanks to the deregulatory efforts of President Donald Trump's Federal Communications Committee, the right-wing Sinclair Broadcasting Group announced today, this is last month, that it will purchase dozens of television stations across the country, allowing the company to spread its conservative programming to new markets and consolidate the ownership of broadcasting stations in fewer hands. Sinclair has entered into an agreement to purchase Tribune Media Group, which owns 42 television stations in 32 markets, along with cable, digital, and real estate assets, according to a press release from the companies. Given Sinclair's existing slate of 173 television stations in 81 markets and its national news operation, the combined broadcast company will become the largest provider of local TV news in the country. And then it also goes on here, too. This is important. The purchase would have been impossible if Trump's newly supported FCC chairman, Ogd Pai, had not rolled back a key Obama administration that had prevented Sinclair from further expansion. Pai's actions will allow a stalwart conservative media mogul to acquire more power. And maybe I can just provide listeners on some background in terms of the issue of ownership of TV and radio stations in the United States. When radio first began and then TV later joined into radio, the Federal Communications Commission, which was created in 1934, set what was called, and this was the law of the land for decades, the 777 rule. And what that rule involved was no one company could own more than seven TV stations, and only five of those VHF, that 1 to 13 I was talking about, seven AM radio stations and seven FM stations. The reason that the Federal Communications did this is that it didn't want our airwaves, which are a precious public resource, to end up like the hamburger business, or now these days the airline business, with just a few major vendors. You can go to McDonald's or Wendy's or Burger King, or now these days, four major airlines are your basic choice if you're going to fly. And the Federal Communications Commission, in its wisdom, and it's a bipartisan panel, felt that, no, we can't let radio and TV end up like this, that you need many voices. A British philosopher, and he was more of a philosopher, too, he was a writer as well, John Milton, talked about how a free press was very much contingent on a marketplace of ideas, many ideas from all kinds of sources. And thus people could, through a free press, get to the reality, get to truth. They should not be censorship. People are smart enough to figure out what's real, what's true, but they need many, many voices. And the folks that regulated broadcasting in this country felt the same way, 777. And again, decades, that was the rule, that was the law of the land. And it ended up eroded, and now even more eroded, under what was called deregulation. And the argument was that, this is of the broadcast industry, that with cable television and with satellite television, these days with internet communication, broadcast entities shouldn't have these kinds of restrictions. They should be allowed to have many, many stations. And, ultimately Clear Channel, when deregulation really got going, ended up owning 1,400 radio stations out of the 7,000 radio stations in this country.
They're the reason that we had Rush Limbaugh on the air for so long. Well, talk about propaganda,
I feel, in terms of being neoliberal or neoconservative, I take a rather conservative point of view here. I think we should conservatively now go back to the 777 rule. And I don't say this because of politics. I mean, frankly, if, quote, liberals, unquote, would buy up TV stations to espouse the liberal cause, I would say the same thing. I believe in independent journalism. I believe that whether it's the Liberal Party, which ended up in New York State involved in corruption, or whether it's conservative entities, power corrupts, and a lot of power, absolute power, corrupts absolutely, is the saying.
Carl, don't you think that this is the fundamental thing? When we have open and free reporting, and I mean really independent, the social structure, whether it's socialist or democratic or however, but when there's open reporting, that's when the governance is the best, because people are responsible to the people they're governing.
That's why it is really
fundamentally at the heart of democracy and civil society is open and fair reporting and making an effort to have a civil dialogue to find the facts, to stick with the facts, please.
And just let me assert or include it here that particularly in terms of full disclosure, in addition to the Media Matters Group, there's another organization, and I'm on its board, which also is very committed to the fight against media monopolization and consolidation, and very much committed to what's been called through the years alternative media, like your radio program. And that's a group called Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting, FAIR. I'm also an associate of FAIR, and through the years I've written a lot for their monthly publication, Extra. And so not only Media Matters is a good...
I go to FAIR to get the printout. You can actually get a printout of all of the telephone numbers of the major media stations to call and give them. I have a copy of it. So I can call these people when I see some outrageous thing on television. I can at least like poke them in the eye and tell them we're listening and we're not buying your lies.
Also, FAIR has an excellent, talking about radio, has an absolutely wonderful radio program, which I hope it's there in Eugene. It's called Counterspin.
Yes, I hear it.
It's on hundreds. Janine Jackson, who is a, speaking about good reporters, she is the top of the line. She is I've known Janine for many, many years. In fact, she started off as an intern at FAIR, and she's been there now for decades, and she hosts Counterspin. People should listen to that Counterspin every week. It's on a half an hour show, and it also addresses what I've been addressing, this matter of media monopoly and media consolidation, and also this right wing, this very deliberate takeover of media by these right wing. And again, I'm a journalist. I'm an equal opportunity critic, as I say. But there has been this very methodical right wing capture of so much of media, which is going to result, if it continues, it's going to result in the marketplace of ideas is going to be even more limited. Information is going to be even more limited, so people have less voices to listen to. And it's just not in keeping with the ideal of the American, I teach this, the ideal of the American press, the ideal of the American media, unlike media all over the world, and it's been going on for more than two centuries, is not to be stenographers to power, not to just cover events and cover people in power, but to challenge power, to monitor power. I mean, the way the system was created by the founders of this country was that there'd be checks and balances. There'd be an executive branch and a judicial branch and a legislative branch and a free press that would be challenging the whole kit and caboodle to provide a check and to provide balance. And what we've been seeing in recent times or in recent decades now is a contamination, a neutralization of that ideal. And I think we have to, as Media Matters does, and that's why I recommend its website, or FAIR, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting does, we have to fight to get back our press, to make sure our press is independent and has not been captured by these forces with these very arch political agendas. It's crucial, it's central to democracy, a free press which, to repeat, challenges power, that is not a group of stenographers of power.
Well, that's exactly what it is we need. It is vital to democracy. It's vital to sane living. Let's just put it to you that way.
Well, for both. And they're not mutually exclusive, let me know.
No, they're not mutually exclusive. But this is, you know, this whole issue. Okay, so I already go to FAIR, and I think FAIR is actually a really great organization, to be honest. And they actually have, you go to FAIR, there's, you can find out really Counterspin, Media Matters, FAIR. Those are all really excellent places to hear people who've really done the work, not just been spoon-fed information to them by Sinclair upper heads. Oh, this is the talking points we're going to talk about. Everyone's going to say it and nobody deviates. What we need is journalists who find out the real facts. I mean, people contact me and say, wow, it's amazing how much you know. It's actually, I don't really, to be frank, I hadn't actually really considered myself a journalist. But I look up facts on my own, and there's a lot of the scientific stuff that I don't understand. One thing I do understand is we are heavily contaminated in this country. And the silence on it is deafening, deafening. And it has to do with the hypocrisy. Representative Scalise gets shot and everybody's like, oh, violence has to end. And nobody's talking about the $10 trillion lost, the people being shot in the streets in America, and the bombs we're dropping on people in foreign countries.
Some people are, Lonnie. I mean,
we are.
And on a substantial scale, like an old dear friend of mine, I live on Long Island near New York, Amy Goodman. And she began, and I remember Amy as a young girl working for WBAI, that's a Pacifica radio station in New York. That's where Amy got her start. She's from Bayshore here on Long Island. And newer folks. And Amy went from Pacifica to creating Democracy Now!, which is seen and heard all over the United States. And that's so important. That kind of independent media should really be supported.
She's not 100% independent because she can't, we know she can't talk about nuclear. She would not get on the air.
No. I disagree, Lonnie, respectfully. I've been on Amy's program. Talking about nuclear. In fact, I remember way back at WBAI days, this was right after Chernobyl.
Well, okay, I know. I saw Kevin Camps recently on her show talking about it. Okay.
Yeah.
This is what I don't get, the disconnect. It's almost like this is to me where journalism, and I don't really know how we can bridge the gap between journalists reporting information and people taking action and responding, because I don't believe it's enough to have Kevin Camps on once every 3 months about the contamination that is killing our children. I don't think that that's often enough. If there was a war going on, which is what's going on, we hear about it every week, all the time, every time. We see pictures daily. We're bombarded with it every day. We don't hear about the victims. We don't hear about the lives of people in America who are suffering at the hands of these polluters. In fact, they are acted that when they go to their doctors, they are harassed and treated as if they are a pain in the neck for claiming that these corporations are harming them.
Well, in terms of good journalism, it's like good plumbers. It's like good electricians. It's like good teachers. There's very good and there's not so very good.
Well, also,
and
there's a lot
bad.
Of oppression, like Sinclair. I really believe that a lot of information is suppressed. This is where Amy has transformed really a lot of it. Like, thank goodness for her venue. This is why she's so popular. When she came here to Eugene, I stood in line to see her. She's popular because she's willing to, like, she may not be able to hit every front, but guess what? She hits very close to the top. And so I my hat's off to the work that they've done, because they get people on and allow them to say exactly. I mean, Jeremy Scahill has gone on her show and spoken very clearly about the military, very honestly.
Yeah, repeatedly. I mean,
he has his own. I don't know if you've heard of The Intercept. Speak of another.
Yeah, you know, sure. And I know where Jeremy's gone, and I this is the good news of journalism. And a lot of it is new media. It isn't media that we even anticipated. 35, 40 years ago, I wasn't thinking about folks with blogs and podcasts, and none of this exists. Now we have thousands upon thousands of citizen journalists, which is great in my view. People doing journalism that coming from a different direction, and that's great. I mean, there is a problem, I'd acknowledge, on the internet, because all you need is a computer and a website or a little video camera or a little microphone, and you could podcast, or you can put your TV on YouTube.
Well, you can go to TuneIn Radio and pay $40 a month and have 50,000 potential listeners. Well, this is how easy it is.
Yeah, well, the problem here, and I want to point to it, is that in the old traditional days, there we get back to filters. You could have an editor could go over what was.
Right.
Written, or a news director could go over what was to be broadcast. These days, the internet is not filtered at all, and thus you have some crazy stuff on the internet. However, I go back to what John Milton said, in fact, he, in a very famous, Google this, speech that he gave, Areopagitica, is the title of it. And Areopagitica is Latin for aerial free pagitica pages.
That's right up.
And he said, and I every semester I read a portion of Areopagitica in my investigator reporting class. Whoever knew the truth, I can't paraphrase it now. I wish I had Areopagitica in front of me. He talked about truth and falsehood grappling, and the truth coming out, like cream coming to the top of milk, and that's what I believe. So even though there are these concerns, valid concerns about the lack of filter among some of those using new media, I think that the more voices, the more opinions, the more reporting, the more presentation of facts, the better we all are. And getting back to Fox and getting back to Sinclair, these entities with this very strong political agenda, there I think we don't have people in the field of journalism adhering to the spirit of what John Milton was talking about.
I don't think they really understand.
What Thomas Jefferson was talking about. What Benjamin Franklin, incidentally.
So, Carl, I have to interrupt us. We have about 15 seconds left. I want to thank you for joining us. We'll put links to your website.
Thank you.
And thank you for the dialogue. I hope you come back. Put your courage feet on, you guys. Take action. Do your own research. Let's educate ourselves. Take care, you guys. We'll talk to you guys soon.
A pleasure, Lonnie.
Thank you.